Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and we love you that we have this opportunity here in this place to show love to one another, and as Brother Jim stated in Sunday school, to provoke one another onto good works. And Lord, we also thank you that we have an opportunity to praise you in song, and praise you in obedience in other areas of our life. May we glorify you in everything that we do. And Lord, today as we open up the Word of God, may it touch us. May we apply what we learn to our practical day-to-day lives. And Lord, as always, give me strength to preach, for I am but a man. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you ever noticed in this world that we live in that people have different opinions, that people deal with truth differently than one another? We see it a lot this time of year as we approach the Christmas season. How do individuals respond to the truth of Jesus Christ and who he is? Some look at it almost with spite, with anger. Some look at it with confusion, really not sure what it's all about. Some look with love and adoration towards our Heavenly Father for giving us such a gift. And today we're going to look at three different groups of people, and then of course ourselves as well. And the individuals are going to be the wise men, the chief priests and scribes of that day when Christ came, and also King Herod. They all had one thing in common, and that is that they're human beings. Translation, they are sinners. But they all were given a brain, a way to think. They were all given emotions by Almighty God. And how do they use these gifts from God to view the coming Messiah? We're going to see that they have some differences in how they react to him. And we are in the book of Matthew chapter 2 today, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Notice in our text, Herod, he had a lot of questions. And it makes us wonder why he did, what was going on in his heart. We see in the text, he was troubled. He was troubled, but also not just him, also the people of Jerusalem. See, in the context of this, is there's a bit of confusion. They had a misunderstanding. What is this all about, this troubled feeling they had? But it's also one that quickly leads to this agitated feeling, something bothering this individual. And for Herod, we know that his confusion turned to fear. He was troubled in that sort of way. Why? Because he was an individual that loved power. He was a deceitful individual, as we're going to see. And he would have different motives. So his response to hearing that the Christ is here, that the Messiah is here, was one of fear of his own position in a possible change in his life, as happens today when people hear the truth of Christ, especially when the gospel is not presented clearly to them, and they do not understand that it is but a free gift of God's grace to them. And if somehow works are added to it or some sort of commitment, you see, they get scared, and now I have to change my entire life. I can't trust Christ. I can't do this. I'm not ready. I'm not holy enough. So for some, it's a change that way. For him, the same thing. He wants the same lifestyle he had before, that with power. We will see that the king, Herod, that he wanted to destroy the true king, Jesus Christ. Now Herod, he was called king by the Roman Senate. He was cruel, a crafty man. He permitted no one, not even his own family, to interfere with his rule. He was a murderer. He had his own wife and two brothers killed because he suspected them of treason. This is the type of guy he was. He was married more times than Elizabeth Taylor, 9 times, okay, to fulfill his lust. And he did a lot of this to strengthen his political ties in the area. But he was troubled when he heard this. He was disturbed to the point where he calls together, we see in the text, all the scribes of the people. Now this means the Jewish people, the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders. Why? Because the topic was their Christ, their Messiah. So what's going on here? Where is he going to be born? Notice he doesn't say this sounds crazy. He doesn't deny that it's possible. But yet he wants to know where he is. And when did this star appear? We see he asks a little bit later. So his first response is that he's troubled. Trying to get to the bottom of it to save his own skin. Then we see the scribes and the chief priests. These are individuals that knew the prophecy. When they were actually asked, where will the Christ be born? They knew. They knew the answer. It would be in Bethlehem. They knew where he'd be born. So the wise men, they didn't have necessarily a doubt here. We don't really know what's going on in their mind. But what amazes me is that they didn't, at least according to our text, we weren't there and don't have everything going on, but we don't see in our text that they did any sort of search on their own for the Christ. Now, I would think if these wise men come in from the east and they see this miraculous star, they see this, and they're asking questions, where is this child? Where is he to be born? And they're in search for the Messiah, and they realize this. They didn't take any initiative to go themselves. And it makes me wonder why. Maybe they were confused. Maybe they were like you and I who are waiting for his return. But yet we don't really pay attention to the signs or to the word of God or to the hope of his coming. Now, for us, we await the rapture of the church, and that could happen at any moment. Nothing more has to happen prophetically for Jesus Christ to come back. Now, for the second coming of Christ after the rapture of the church, there'll be many signs, right? We know. But for you and I, we are awaiting our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to come in the clouds. Are you looking for that? Now, obviously, as we look at the world and we see it going in a downward spiral, we, of course, think of things in the tribulation time and about the second coming, which reminds us of the rapture. And we can see how some of these things are going to take place or could take place. But would you admit, along with myself, that sometimes we just lose focus of the Lord's return? We lose focus of the promises that have been given to us to the point where we can become very apathetic and almost numb in our relationship with God. Sometimes that's, well, it's always due to sin, because whenever we take our eyes off of God and focus on the things around us, and instead of putting Christ as the preeminence in our life, we put other things as the preeminence in our life. That's sin. And sin always blinds us of the truth. Why it's so important to rest in Christ. Now see, the scribes and the Pharisees, this wasn't clicking in their minds. Why? Because they were not resting in the coming Messiah. They weren't focused on that. They were focused on themselves in their own positions. Proof of this is not only at the birth of Christ, but during Christ's ministry and how they treated him. This is who they were. They were in high position, just the same as Herod. It's possible some had the same fear as Herod. It's possible others just simply were apathetic. We don't know everything going on in their mind. But it makes me wonder why they didn't tag along with the wise men. Something was going on there. And only God knows what that is. The scribes and the chief priest were the religious leaders of the day. And they were not focused. This is dangerous. Whoever God places in religious leadership needs to be on the lookout, needs to be focused on Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished, and in this case, what he was coming to accomplish. Maybe they thought there's no way. Yeah, we know that there's this sign here, but come on, there's so many prophecies. There's no way that this child could fulfill them all. But he did. But we will see three prophecies fulfilled just by the end of this section. So we see their initial response. We see Herod's initial response, and we see the wise men. Their response isn't even their initial response isn't even here in our text, but we know what it is, because when they saw the star, they left wherever they were at, and they stepped out in faith in search of the Messiah so that they could worship him. So we see the result of their initial response. They stand before Herod. In verse 9, it says, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. That'd be just amazing. Just be amazing to see that. And I know there's all sorts of different scientific explanations and or, you know, astronomy that people use and try to prove what went on that day. Some people say it was Jupiter doing this sort of thing in the sky. And, you know, I don't, whatever it was, God was involved, and it is amazing, and it was a miracle. When they saw the star, they rejoiced. with an exceeding great joy. And before I get into verse 11, that just makes me think of, you know, our relationship with Christ. Those of us who are saved, you see, we have this light that is within us, don't we? And hopefully this light, it shines out to the world. And it makes me think of how we view our other brothers and sisters in Christ in their service to the Lord. I don't know why I thought of this just now, but I did. The Holy Spirit, I believe. Do we have an exceeding great joy within us when we see Christ shared with others? Do we? When we get an opportunity to witness that, we see someone serving the Lord in some way, do we have this joy because we know what the result would be if they trusted Christ? They're pointing to Christ. This star is pointing to Christ, and they're excited because they want to see Him. And when they were coming to the house in verse 11, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. What is their response? They fell down and they worshiped Him. Man. We put ourselves in a physical situation. And when we see, have you ever had this moment in your life or had a moment in your life where you're abiding in Christ, you're just resting in Him, and you just feel really close to God, and you just feel like collapsing in worship, you know? I know it's an emotional response, but man, I've had that where you feel like God is right there, and He is there, He's within us, right? But you just feel like this overwhelming presence of God. Wouldn't you do the same thing in the situation? You're looking for the Christ, and you see the Christ child in the manger. Wouldn't you also fall to your knees and just worship Him? That's how we should be daily. Falling down and worship Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. By now, we know Mary and Joseph, they would have moved the baby from that manger scene. And so I misspoke there for a second when I said seeing him in the manger there. Habit, I guess. But he was a little bit older now. They would have been in a different dwelling place. And they see him. And they worship him. This is a fulfilled prophecy. We see them to prove that Jesus Christ is King. We look at this story. You see, how He was born was a fulfillment of prophecy. Did you remember that? We talked about that last week. He was born of a virgin. And here He is with the virgin mother. And where He was born was a fulfillment of prophecy. Bethlehem, meaning the house of bread, the bread of life had come down. Came to earth. We see in our next verse a warning that leads to another prophecy. So think about this journey these wise men took. Stepping out in faith, going here, following the star, ending up where the Christ child is, worshiping Him in this exceeding great joy that they have immediately. Caution lights come on. Red flags go up. And in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. If we recall back a few verses ago, King Herod wanted them to come back. He wanted them to go back to him and tell them where the Christ child was. And his reason that he told them was so that they could, or he could go and worship the Christ child. And we know that was not his intent. His intent was to take the life of this child, not worship him. And they see, don't go back and tell Herod. God tells them, don't do this. We see the protection of Jesus. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. Why? That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. See, we have another prophecy, and this is how it took place. Born of a virgin, the wise men, they come, and Herod is going to want to kill him. And so the Lord warns, of course, the wise men. He also warns Joseph. They depart and they go to Egypt. So he's born in Bethlehem, but he would also come out of Egypt back into Galilee at some point. A prophecy of 700 plus years being fulfilled here. Let's look at Herod some more and his response. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they were not. The response of Herod is disgusting. It's terrible. He cared so much about his position. He cared so much about himself that pride takes over. He was mocked. They never came back. He lashes out to kill all of the children here. Rachel refers to Israel, Israeli, the nation of Israel, the mother. These were Jewish children that were killed. What a response. What won't mankind do to fulfill their lust and their desires? See, this is why we need a savior. You know, to us, this, it is, hopefully, is disgusting and terrible. But you know, sometimes we, knowing full well how God would want us to respond to certain situations, we do what we want to do at any cost. We sometimes hurt people. You say, well, I'd never murder anybody. Well, just thinking it or saying it in the eyes of God is the same. We know that to be true because Jesus tells us so. whether it's adultery or anything in that text. You see, we need a Savior. Herod needed the Christ child. He needed Jesus. He needed to be delivered. We say he's undeserving. We all are undeserving. But he's really undeserving. Well, I understand that feeling, but we are all wretched sinners. This is proof there is evil in the world. This is proof that Satan does not want the plans of God to be accomplished. From the beginning of time, Satan has tried to destroy the union between mankind and God. He doesn't want us to have that intimate relationship with him. And after the fall, he does not want to witness reconciliation of mankind with God. He doesn't want that. His anger was evidence of his pride. We have evidence of Satan's ideas and plans. You see, the flip side of this is the Magi, the wise men. They were seeking the king. Herod was opposing the king. The Jewish people and the scribes and Pharisees, they were ignoring the king at this time. They wouldn't ignore him for long, and they would also try to kill him, which was needed to be done for our salvation. And God used them in that way. But notice, those in position are the ones that wanted him dead. You see, as human beings, we want to be exalted, every one of us. We want to be liked by everybody. We want to receive praise for everything we do. We want the pat on the back, attaboys, and all this sort of thing. And by our nature, we do not want to give God the glory that he deserves. We want the glory. We want the glory. But at what cost? Now, for them, it's very direct, right? For Herod and the chief priests later in Christ's ministry, it's very direct. They want him dead. For the Christian, a person who's trusted Jesus Christ, sometimes, and it's horrible to say and to think about, but sometimes in our minds, Christ is dead to us when he's alive and exalted. Meaning, it's just like, we're like, talk to the hand. We don't want you ruling our life right now. I want to do what I want to do. Isn't that horrible? But we do it. We have moments of selfishness where we want to be the one on top. We want to be the one to make the choices, the one to make the decisions in our life. And we just plain don't feel like being obedient or submissive to somebody else. But friends, this is God Almighty. He is the creator of the universe. He is the one who gave his life for us so that we could spend eternity with him. He should be exalted. He should be lifted up. But again, Herod was opposing, the Jewish people were ignoring, and they would also oppose later on. In a sense, that is opposing. The wise men, they're seeking out this king. They were looking for a chance to worship. They were looking for this opportunity to serve. They desired that. They desired that. Do we desire that? Do we desire to serve God, to be submissive to His will? Are we okay with that? I hope so. We are not the ones in charge. And God will use, as we see even in all of these events, His plan, it will come to fruition. No matter what our response is, He knows before we are even born the responses we're going to give. And He knows and He understands that He can use those things to fulfill His plan. He knows that. Now, when we look at ourselves and compare ourselves a little more, the priests, they knew Him but did nothing about it. They knew of Him but did nothing about it. Do you know of Jesus and what He did? You know, as a Christian, that means one thing, and if you're a non-Christian, that means something else. If you're a Christian, you know Him. You already have an intimate relationship with Him. It's more than some sort of just intellectual knowledge. You actually have a relationship with Jesus Christ. How do you deal with that? Do you ignore Him in your life? Well, you're not going to receive all the joy and all the peace you could have in your life. If you're a non-believer here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you are ignoring Him, yes, you intellectually know He came, the Son of God came to this world. He was born of a virgin. I know that. I know that He went to the cross to die for me. I've heard that before. He was buried and He rose again. But yet your response is, so what? There's a consequence for that. And that is eternity in the lake of fire, as opposed to heaven. You see, he came here to offer up the gift of salvation to all of mankind. The Tylers and the Herods alike. To everybody. All of us are undeserving, and He offers up this salvation. Sometimes people think like they are a Herod. I'm so evil, there's no way God could ever accept me. Oh, He died for you so that He could be with you. No matter how much you feel you have sinned, no matter how much wrong you think you have done, you see, this is the love of God. You see, that should feel good to you. He doesn't accept your behavior, but He paid for that on the cross. He took that upon Himself. You see, because He realized that mankind cannot in any way be perfectly holy and perfect and without sin. And so He would do it Himself. He would come and He would live on this earth and He would go to the cross and pay the penalty for us. And I'm glad that He did. As we read on and get ready to close here, verse 19, it says, "But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." We see here early on in our Lord's life here on this earth. All these prophecies coming true, where he would be born, where would he would reside for a little bit in Egypt, then he'd end up in Nazareth so that he could receive this sort of title as a Nazarene. We see the miraculous hand of God and the protection of God. And it reminds me of the one facet of God's gift that he gives to us in our salvation is that it's eternal. You see, if God took so much care to protect Jesus Christ and place him here and here and here and have him go to the cross and die at this specific time for us, and he would care for Christ was here so that his payment could be made, don't you think that he's going to protect those that have placed their trust in him? He will. We are his children. He cares for us. And one day, we will be in glory and we will have no danger to worry about. We will not have the presence of sin around us. And we'll be able to enjoy this relationship so much more than we can enjoy it now. But you know what? We can enjoy it a lot now. And we need to think about that. It is the wise men who we must aspire to be like. They were human too, but they worshiped the Lord. I know we're talking about something that pertains to Christmas. But consider this, no matter what quality you share, whether it's you have some characteristics like Herod, I hope not, or characteristics like the scribes or the wise men, no matter what you believe, no matter what you do, will alter the course of the Lord coming. And there are two main judgments that are out there. And if you're a believer, you will be standing at the judgment seat of Christ. See, even in judgment, there is separation, not only or a difference. Not only is there a difference in timing, but there's also a difference as who is allowed at what judgment. The judgment seat of Christ, there will only be believers there. That's the judgment I'm going to be at. I know that because Christ promised me that if I place my faith in him, that I'm saved and I'm saved forever. And that judgment seat of Christ is one of rewards or lack thereof. It is not a punishment. No punishments will be given there. But then there is another judgment later, and it's called the White Throne Judgment. There will only be unbelievers there. And their judgment is always the same. Eternity separated from God. The final resting place, the lake of fire. Hell and death will be thrown there. No matter what you think today or how you respond to God, there's only two destinations, and nothing we can do will stop God's plan from coming to be. Herod couldn't stop it. The scribes and Pharisees at the time of Christ, they thought they were stopping Christ, but they were doing exactly what God the Father wanted to happen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came here to die for us. Let us respond properly to that sacrifice.